Welcome to Money Sense, where we go beyond the numbers to help Canadians design a wealthier life. With host Brent Laux and trusted experts Kevin Hagedis and Andrew Roddick, partners at PWM Private Wealth Council and portfolio managers with Q Wealth. Whether you're preparing for retirement, designing tax-efficient income, or planning for future generations, financial decisions can be overwhelming. With a spotlight on pension-style investing strategies that prioritize long-term stability, Kevin, Andrew, and the PWM team will share their insights and perspectives to help you protect what you've worked a lifetime to build. Because effective financial planning should feel like laying a strong foundation. This is Money Sense.
Good afternoon and welcome to Money Sense, your trusted source for financial insights. I'm your host, Craig Sillifant, covering for Brent Laux today. And today we're tackling two of life's certainties, death and taxes. Helping us to navigate this complex topic today is Brian Rugg, who's a business advisor with PWM Tax and Accounting Services, as well as a chartered professional accountant. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Craig.
So we're going to talk more about death and taxes after this break with Brian Rugg, business advisor with PWM Tax and Accounting Services. Welcome back to Money Sense, your trusted source for financial insights. I'm your host, Craig Sillifant, covering for Brent Laux today. And we're talking about a famous Benjamin Franklin quote about death and taxes, the two certainties in life. And it's fascinating how Franklin's wisdom remains relevant today. We have Brian Rugg joining me, who is a business advisor with PWM Tax and Accounting Services, as well as a chartered professional accountant. So let's start with that famous quote, Brian. What exactly did Franklin say?
In 1789, Franklin wrote to French scientist Jean-Baptiste Lavoie, saying, and I quote, "Our new constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable. But in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes." Interestingly, this was written when there wasn't even a federal income tax. The government was mainly funded by import taxes.
That's fascinating. And this was near the end of his life, wasn't it?
Yes, and it must have been weighing heavily on his mind at the time. In that same letter, Franklin wrote about his declining health, saying, "My health continues much as it has been for some time, except that I grow thinner and weaker, so that I cannot expect to hold out much longer." He passed away just months later in 1790 at age 84.
Huh. So let's talk about Franklin's approach to estate planning. I understand he had some interesting ideas there, too.
He certainly did. Franklin was quite innovative in his estate planning. He established two philanthropic trusts designed to last exactly 200 years. This shows he believed in giving back and helping others, viewing it as part of creating a cycle of wealth.
And how does Franklin's quote about death and taxes relate to modern tax policy?
Well, it's interesting to see how this phrase continues to resonate, and it still carries a lot of weight in modern Canadian estate and tax planning. It resonates today not just as a cliche, but as a warning and a call to action. The old saying, "Nothing is certain but death and taxes," has never been truer, especially in estate planning. In Canada, death and taxes are directly linked because death can trigger significant tax consequences. And on top of that, we're standing on the edge of the largest generational wealth transfer in history. Baby boomers, the generation that built businesses, bought homes, and filled up retirement accounts, are passing on an estimated $84 trillion to their heirs. Yes, you heard that right, trillion with a T. But with great inheritance comes a great tax bill. Governments are watching this transition closely, and they're sharpening their pencils too. Estate taxes, capital gains, probate costs, they're all part of the equation. And for many, the tax man might take a bigger cut than expected.
So, Brian, what can our listeners do to prepare for life's certain eventualities, you know, the death and taxes?
Well, Craig, there are two ways that I see many people planning for their estates. Unfortunately, the first way, and the one that we see far too often, is simply not to plan at all. No will, no trust, no tax strategy. They have left it to their spouse or their children or nieces and nephews, uncles or aunts to settle their affairs after they pass away.
Well, that sounds like it might not be the best approach.
No, it really isn't. When someone dies without a will, what we call intestate, the provincial government steps in and decides how your estate gets divided based on a set of formula in legislation. That might sound fair in theory, but the problem is the law doesn't know your family, your wishes, or your unique situation. Let's say you wanted to leave more to one child because they've been your caregiver. or maybe you want to give a portion to charity you care deeply about. Well, none of that would matter. The rules are blind to your personal wishes.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, how should they start thinking about this? What should they consider when beginning their estate planning journey?
Great question, Craig. The fundamental questions everyone needs to address are, what are you worth? Who gets what after your death? Who do you want to use as your children's guardian? How do you want your assets managed? And who to trust to handle these matters? Estate planning can seem overwhelming at first, but it really comes down to four key steps. Take inventory of what you own. Start by listing your assets, your home, bank accounts, registered accounts, TFSAs, life insurance, business interests, even personal valuables like vehicles or heirlooms. You can't plan where things go if you don't know what you have. Decide who should get what and who should help you. Who do you trust to be your executor? Who would you want making financial or medical decisions if you couldn't? You'll also want to think about beneficiaries, not just for your will, but on your registered accounts and insurance policies. Talk to a professional. An estate lawyer or a financial advisor can set you up a will, a power of attorney for property and personal care, possibly a trust if it suits your situation, and most importantly, a tax strategy to avoid a large tax bill when you pass away. Keep it updated. Life changes, marriages, divorces, births, deaths, all affect your estate plan. Your plan should grow and evolve with your life. A will from 15 years ago may no longer reflect your wishes or the law. So starting your estate plan isn't about having all the answers. It's about starting the conversation. Get the right people involved and take control while you still can.
And Brian, once somebody has started their estate plan, should they talk to their family about it?
Yes, 100%, Craig. It might feel uncomfortable, but talking to your family is one of the most important parts of estate planning. A clear legal plan is great, but a surprised family is where conflicts and resentment begin. When people are left in the dark, they often assume the worst. That's how families end up in court, not just grieving, but fighting. So I always say, if your plan is good enough to write down, it's good enough to talk about. Well, here's what you don't have to do. You don't have to share exact numbers. You don't have to justify every decision, but you should let people know the basics. Who your executor will be, where your documents are stored, if you've named beneficiaries, and most importantly, why you've made the choices you have. Being proactive avoids confusion and shows your family that your decisions were made with thought, not made under pressure or influenced by somebody else.
That's quite comprehensive. So, you know, what common challenges do you see when estates aren't properly planned?
One of the biggest issues is liquidity. After death, the person settling the estate needs funds for burial and funeral expenses, outstanding bills, final taxes, and potentially preparing property for sale. In Canada, the assets of a deceased person are valued as of the date of death, even if they're not actually sold. There are some exceptions and some rollover provisions, without proper planning, this can create significant stress and tax burden for families.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to drill down a little bit on some tax strategies for, you know, death, the inevitability of death. Stick around. You're listening to Money Sense. I'm Craig Silliphant, covering for Brent Laux, and we're talking to Brian Rugg, business advisor with PWM Tax and Accounting Services, as well as a chartered professional accountant. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Money Sense. Welcome back. You're listening to Money Sense, your trusted source for financial insights. I'm your host, Craig Silliphant, covering for Brent Laux today. And today I've been talking to Brian Rugg, business advisor with PWM Tax and Accounting Services, as well as a chartered professional accountant. And Brian and I have been tackling some big questions about life today and the two big certainties, as Ben Franklin called them, death and taxes. So before the break, we just started to talk about the idea that in Canada, the assets of a deceased person are valued as of the date of their death. And, you know, there's all kinds of ins and outs that the Canadian Revenue Service will look at. So, Brian, what are some good tax planning strategies to reduce taxes at death?
A short checklist for the listeners would include things like the following. Use a spousal rollover to transfer assets and registered accounts to a surviving spouse or common law partner. Name beneficiaries on registered accounts to bypass the estate and probate. Use a testamentary trust to manage assets for your beneficiaries and income splitting opportunities for minor children or disabled dependents. Withdraw RRSPs strategically before death to spread income over more years. use an alter ego or joint partnership trust to transfer assets without triggering tax. Gift assets before death by triggering capital gains while you are alive. Purchase permanent life insurance to pay the estate's tax bill or leave a guaranteed inheritance. Freeze the value of a business and pass on the growth to your heirs. Plan for capital gains on other properties. Apply for the lifetime capital gains exemption on qualified small business corporation shares or qualified farm or fishing property.
Brian, can you touch on spousal inheritance a bit?
Absolutely, Craig. While leaving everything to a spouse might seem straightforward, it's not always the best solution. This approach may not work for single parents, blended families, or those wanting to leave assets to other family members. However, in a situation where it does work, assets left to a spouse or a common law partner may be transferred at cost, which we call a rollover, deferring the tax until the spouse dies.
Let's discuss taxes specifically. What tax obligations should families be prepared for?
It's critical to understand that beneficiaries will ultimately be responsible for paying taxes after death. This can sometimes force family members to sell assets just to cover tax liabilities. In terms of owing illiquid assets, this is particularly challenging. For instance, with certain asset classes, the illiquidity can create significant estate tax complications. One strategy is acquiring interests in an irrevocable trust when possible, as post-acquisition planning may be restricted by various regulations.
Many of our listeners are dealing with the loss of loved ones and facing tax obligations. What's the first thing, Brian, that people need to know?
The most important thing to understand is that the tax obligations don't end with death. Something most Canadians don't know until they're grieving and overwhelmed, when someone passes away, the CRA still might want you to file up to 3 tax returns on their behalf. Personal representatives need to file a final tax return for the deceased, and there's often significant complexity involved. It's required for every deceased person and must be filed by the deadline, usually April 30th of the following year. But they may be also required to file a T3 trust return and have the option to file a rights or things return. The rights or things return is an optional second T1 return used to report income that the person was entitled to before death but hadn't yet received, such as unpaid wages, OAS or CPP, and dividends declared but not yet received. Filing a rights or things return allows you to split income across 2 returns, which can reduce the total tax owing by accessing lower tax brackets and claiming additional credits. After someone passes away, their estate becomes a trust in the eyes of the CRA. The T3 trust return is used to report specific types of income after the date of death and not included in other returns, and can remain open for months or years after if there is real estate property or business interests involved.
And that brings up an interesting point. So, like, what exactly are the responsibilities when it comes to handling a deceased person's taxes?
Well, Craig, it's one of those situations where professional help is often necessary. The complexity can be overwhelming, especially during an emotionally difficult time. Every situation will be unique. You need to consider the size, the estate, the condition of the financial records, and the number of beneficiaries involved.
Speaking of professional help, should people try to handle this themselves?
I strongly advise against it. Getting help from a tax attorney or CPA who specializes in estate settlement is crucial. The good news is that the professional fees are typically paid from the estate's assets, not personally by the executor.
So before we wrap up, Brian, do you have any great final advice for our listeners?
Many people have deep-seated beliefs about money that can affect their planning decisions. These money habits are often formed early in life and can create subconscious blocks that impact financial success. Understanding these beliefs is crucial for making sound estate planning decisions. One way to overcome these potential roadblocks is to focus on actionable strategies to manage these habits and build healthier financial behaviors. Working with professionals who understand both the financial and psychological aspects of estate planning can be invaluable. Remember that handling estate taxes can get complex quickly. Don't hesitate to seek professional help. It's worth the investment to avoid costly mistakes, especially during such a stressful time. Taxes are a significant portion of everybody's financial budget, So it's essential to do everything you can to minimize your amount payable.
Thank you, Brian, for sharing your expertise today. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on Money Sense. Brian, how can our listeners contact you if they have any questions or would like to schedule a meeting?
Whether you need assistance with income taxes, insurance, or financial planning, feel free to call our office at 306-975-9500. You can also visit our website at pwmprivatewealth.com.
Excellent. That was Brian Rugg, business advisor with PWM Tax and Accounting Services and a chartered professional accountant. Thanks again, Brian, for being on the show.
Thank you.
I have been Craig Sullivan sitting in for Brent Laux. This has been Money Sense, your trusted source for financial insights on 650 CKOM. Money Sense was prepared by Kevin Hegedus of PWM Financial Services, Inc. All products and services mentioned on this broadcast are for information and communication purposes only. The opinions expressed during this show are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of PWM Financial Services, Inc. This show is intended for general information only. Please obtain independent professional advice in the context of your particular circumstances.